This is my wife, Nancy. She is my faithful companion. She has been in many firefights with me. And she's always been an encouragement and a strengthener. Praise the Lord. So I'm sure she has something she wants to say to you.
I am very blessed to be here. Now, I don't know if it was mentioned, but we have 20 grandchildren. Have a heart for the children, so I was very glad to hear about what you're doing for the
children.
Now, what happened to all the children that were here?
They took them out.
Are they gone? Oh, okay. I'm used to having the children in the meeting with us. You know, in Mark 10, Jesus, the disciples, well, there were parents that were bringing children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked them and said, "Go away." And Jesus, in Mark 10, he was very displeased. He said, "Let the children come. Suffer the children to come." He wanted to bless them, and he said, "If we cannot enter into the kingdom unless we be as a little child." There's something about a child. They are very quick to forgive. They might get angry, but they will be quick to say they're sorry. So God is calling us to be as a child. I wanted to teach the children a song, but they're not here, so I guess another time. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. I know this thing is movable, so can we move it down there? I'm a walker. And I just as soon not want to just walk up and down those steps. Can we bring that down here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How much time do I have? Are we? Huh?
45 minutes.
Oh, 45 minutes. Well, that's better than 10 minutes. Because I can't even get started in 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. I did not come here of my own volition. But you orchestrated this meeting. And I believe that your hand was in it. Father, I pray now that you would anoint my mind. That you would anoint my emotions. And Father, that the words that I speak will be the words that come from the heart of God. Father, we are living in perilous times. There are things working that we as a people do not even know. There are decisions that are being made in high places. Decisions that we have no part or control over. And yet those decisions will have great consequences for us as a people. Father, I pray that you would anoint the ears of the hearers, that they might hear not the words that we speak, but they hear in the Spirit, by the Spirit, that they hear by the Spirit that which God would say unto them. Father, we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My name is of no consequence or no value, but just so you will know what to call me if you happen to address me, I was given the name at birth of Burton. Many people call me Bert, but more people call me Brother Bert. And if you want to call me, you can call me that, because I have been born again. I have the blood of Jesus Christ, and by virtue of that blood, if you too have had that blood, then we are indeed brothers. It's not a Christian terminology. It's a biblical fact. Hallelujah. Because God is calling many people out of many different lands, out of many different ethnic origins, and he's calling them into one family. Hallelujah. Now, we as Christians living in our environment, associating with people of like countenance, like minds, like origin, we really do not seem to grasp the reality of that. Hallelujah. But I have been traveling back and forth across the world by virtue of God's grace, not mine. By virtue of God's strength, not mine. And I have been coming in and out of Africa, India, Europe, for almost 40 years. And I have been outside of the organized church. Hallelujah. I do not come representing a major denomination. I do not come representing a church of a particular or peculiar faith. But I come as an ambassador of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I have already torn down several traditions just by my introduction. Hallelujah. But God is looking for a people. He's looking for a hungry people. The world has had religion from the very beginning. Religion in the occultic sense, and religion in the sense of the church. Hallelujah. And as time grows on, it seems as though the church, in its position of righteousness, is losing its power, losing its strength, losing its ability to combat the darkness that is coming upon the land. There, Ethiopia, like many countries, is a country that has seen much war, much tribulation, much trouble, both from outside as well as inside. Hallelujah. And although the church may be growing in numbers, however you want to relate to what I call as church, it has not stopped the darkness. It has not stopped the wickedness. It has not stopped the corruption that is in the government. It hasn't stopped the corruption that you have to face every day as you go out into your society. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a similar situation in the days of Jesus Christ. The church that had been ordained by God to bring the oracles of God from one generation down to another generation, they had developed so many rules and regulations and traditions and ritualistic things and the church in itself had become so political. So political. They were willing to give the Messiah over to crucifixion in order to preserve their position of what the Bible calls bishopric. Hallelujah. This was a people who had a history of the provision of God. This was a people that had seen the miracles of God. This was a people that had been given the inside story as far as God was concerned. Somewhere in the midst of all of it, they lost their focus. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing to me that the leaders of that church, and I say that church, I mean the church of that day, hallelujah, they knew the scriptures. They knew the Bible. The Old Testament Bible, they knew it. Hallelujah. You know, a very simple test to determine whether or not that this man was who that he says he was would just be to ask him where he was born. That's all they would have done, had to do. But they assumed he came out of Nazareth. But even that in itself was an indictment against them, because they knew the scripture. And the scripture said, he shall be called a Nazarene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As it was then, so it is now. You know, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. The devil has no new tricks. Hallelujah. And up to now, he hasn't needed them. Because it seems that we as a people are prone to fall into the same track. Hallelujah. Make the same mistakes, do the same things, and end up with the same consequences. Hallelujah. Do you know what the consequences were? I forgot my handkerchief. Do you know what the consequences were? Jesus stood on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, and it said that Jesus wept. And not only did Jesus weep, but Jesus pronounced a benediction and a judgment upon Jerusalem. But it wasn't just upon Jerusalem, thank you. It was on the religious society. The sad part about the situation is that it did not only come upon the religious leaders and the organization that they had, but the judgment came also upon the people that were under the influence of that religious society. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe what I'm saying to you today will not make you very happy. I don't know. Hallelujah. I did not come to make you happy. I came to warn you. Hallelujah. I came to give to you a word that God gave to me. Hallelujah. Not a word that He gave to me this morning necessarily, but it is a word that has overshadowed my life for the last 45 years. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. But He's not coming back in the way that we believe or have been taught as a people. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back in the midst of great tribulation. Hallelujah. Does your Amharic Bible say that in the last days there shall be great tribulation? Hallelujah. Does it say that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Does it say that it shall be as a trouble or tribulation such as the world has never known? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think that the word of God will not come to a place of fulfillment? Hallelujah. It's coming to a fulfillment, and we are coming into the days of that fulfillment. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. The disciples came to Jesus Christ in the beginning of the chapter. Now, I do not have the time to go to all the scriptures. You only given me 45 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to make a note. And I encourage you to go and read. Because if I give you a scripture and I begin to teach you on that scripture, that scripture must be in context with the chapter that it's written in. Many times, many preachers will take one scripture and they will tell you something that it doesn't mean because it's not in context. They will build a doctrine on one scripture.
Hallelujah.
Not only does the scripture have to line up with the context of the scripture of the Bible, of the chapter, but it must line up in context with the entirety of the Bible. Hallelujah. How many of you have Bibles? Do you own a Bible? I want to see hands, please. Hold them up. Don't be shy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For those of you who do not have a Bible, I pray that you would pray, God, give me a Bible. Because there's one thing that I know. God wants you to have His Word. And you know, we buy a lot of things. And some things we can go without if we have the Bible. You think that food is important. And you know, food is necessary. But I can tell you something that is more than important than food. It is the living Word of God. And you have a responsibility. You, as a born again believer. Hallelujah. I want to see hands of born again believers. Blood bought believers. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. You have a responsibility. You as an individual have a responsibility. You have the responsibility to hear from God. Hallelujah. And you have a responsibility to be able to assess what you hear from somebody else. That what you hear about God is what God is speaking to you as an individual. Hallelujah. You know, the structure of church has somewhat interfered with our communication with God. Because sometimes we figure we can just go to church on Sunday and hear God. Hallelujah. And that may work for a while, but there's trouble coming. And what you hear in church, you may have forgot by Tuesday. And then you are in really big trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's necessary for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. It was the plan of God from the very beginning. Now, Adam wasn't only just the creation of man, but Adam was the visualization of the intent and purposes of God. So Adam's life, both in the garden and out of the garden, was not just a natural set of circumstances of a man living from day to day until he comes to the end of his journey and he dies. Hallelujah. Adam was a prophetic word. His life, his experiences, all the things that he did, they were a prophetic word. Hallelujah. It was like a word of prophecy that had hands and feet. It had a head, ears, and a mouth. And so everything that Adam did in the garden and out of the garden was a prophetic issuance that was being loosed by the man's lifestyle and living. Hallelujah. And it was going out into the generation that he was creating and going down from generation to generation to generation to generation until it comes down to the realm of our generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, the word of God says that no word of God prophetically goes out from God without returning unto him full and full and complete to accomplish what it was that God sent it out to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angel Gabriel, in I think it's in the first, second, or the third chapter of Luke, when he came to Mary to prophesy over her what it was that God desired of her, he repeated this verse out of Isaiah. But when they translated the King James, I don't know how it is in your Amharic, but when they translated the King James, they said it in this way, that nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God, in the creation of Adam, it says in the very first chapter that he desired to make man. Hallelujah. He wanted to make him in a particular thing, way. And he wanted him to have a particular disposition. Mentally, emotionally, in the realm of his desires. Hallelujah. He said, I want to make him in my image. By the way, that's verse 26 of Genesis 1. I want to make him in my image. Hallelujah. And in my likeness. Now I'm curious. What does your Amharic Bible, am I saying that right? Amharic? All right. I don't want to say it wrong. Somebody might get mad at me. What does it say in there for likeness? In your Amharic Bible, what does it say for in his image and in his likeness? How do they translate that? What does it mean? Alright, now in your Amharic understanding, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is anybody brave enough to say it? This lady over here.
Who were created in his image, like him.
Like him.
Yes.
Now, what in your Amharic understanding, what does it mean to be like him?
Likeness means in communication. It's commune with him, to be like him, and also in character.
In character, very good.
Amen.
In character. Now, I could just look around you. Do you see any of that? Do you see any of that? Well, tell me, did God make a mistake? Or maybe there's an exception for us. Huh? Then something is wrong with our doctrine. Because your doctrine is what you believe about God and what He intends with regards to you. And if we're not fulfilling the desire that, may I borrow your Bible just a moment? If we're not fulfilling Genesis chapter 1:26, if that process is not working in our lives, thank you, something is wrong with our doctrine. Hallelujah. Something is wrong with our doctrine. Hallelujah. Now, let me take that one step further. I was going to go into chapter 24 there, but I hope to get back to it. But I want you to look at the commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And it said, God blessed them. Verse 28. Let me do verse 27 first. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Adam had not yet been, the Eve had not yet been taken out of Adam. So the commandment that God was giving to Adam, hallelujah, was the commandment that God was giving to Eve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear it? Oh boy, you guys are really tired. Hallelujah. Now, remember, this is God that is speaking, ladies. God doesn't speak words as we speak them. When God speaks something in this manner and in this tone, God is not just issuing a decree. But it is a commandment with authority. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It means that God just didn't give them a rule or an order. Because when it says that God blessed them, something came out of God that was eternal in consistency. The problem is, we don't even know what God made. And the potential of the quality that is in us. Because of the quality of the blood that came upon us. Hallelujah! 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 When you are born again, you are born out of something, and you are born into something that is totally different than that which you were born the first time in. And all of the promises that was given to Adam, that was given to Abraham, that was given to Noah, that was given to every righteous man of God down to the coming of Jesus Christ, and by the virtue of his blood was given to us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My goodness! We do not understand the reality of the potential that we have in God. Because of the blood. Because of our environment. And because of our lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. One thing for sure. You will never, ever be able to say you didn't know of the availability that God is offering you today. Hallelujah. And so God blessed them. And God gave them a word. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. And subdue it.
Amen.
What does your Amharic word for subdue? What is it in your Bible?
Verse 28.
It says subdue it.
Yeah.
How?
Rule.
Rule.
Yes.
Yes. Well, then dominion.
Yes, dominion.
To subdue and dominion. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, the word dominion means to rule. The word subdue means that you have to wrestle it. Huh? You know, I used to wrestle with my kids. I have some very big boys. And you know, we would wrestle. And the whole idea was to get Dad down on the floor. And Dad was trying to do everything he could to keep those boys getting Dad down on the floor. Hallelujah. And you know something? You know something? I always won. Not because I was stronger than them, but because I taught them to respect me. And so though they could beat me, they always let me win. Hallelujah. 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 We have to understand the reality of the word that was given to Adam. Remember? I said Adam was prophetic. And the word of God to Adam was also prophetic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, there is a verse in Hebrews that says that he was created a little lower than the angels, talking about man. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Created a little lower than the angels, but lifted to a position of exaltation, so that all that God created was in subjection to him. Hallelujah. 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 Are you hearing God this morning? Hallelujah. It should begin to not depress you, but it should excite you to think that there is something that you can do, and God giving you an opportunity to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. To have dominion and to subdue. You know, the church has a funny philosophy. Well, they have several funny philosophies. They think to do something they have to have money. They think to be well, you have to be healed. If you're sick, if they're sick, you have to be healed. They think that you have a devil, you have to be delivered. And all of those things are true, but if they become the main focus or the event that we are looking at, we will miss God.
Hallelujah.
If God gives me a job to do, I have a responsibility to put my Christianity to work. I don't form a committee. I don't necessarily share my burden. I go to God. Hallelujah. And I ask God, if this is what you want me to do, then this is what I shall do, and I shall do it with all of my might, with all of my strength, with all of my being. Hello? I don't come over to my friend's house and knock on his door and say to him, Brother Jamal, I need help today. Can you help come and help me do what I need to do? I don't do that. Hallelujah. Because I believe in a living God. If I am in need of finances, I don't go to my brother Fikri and knock on his door. And I say, Brother Fikri, give me some money, please. Hallelujah. I go to God. And you know, sometimes the servants of God who are in that position, and I'm not talking about ministers, so you understand, we're all servants of God. Sometimes they suffer for the sake of the church, and they're not being able to hear God. But sometimes that's the church fault, because the church has taught them something other than hearing from God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, brethren, some people think the position or the evidence of God is prosperity. Prosperity of health, prosperity of finances, prosperity in circumstances of living. Hallelujah. But if you want a good example of prosperity that is biblical, read the story of the prophet that was sent down to the widow and her son. It was famine in the land, much like your economical society. famine of money. Hallelujah. The widow had just one thing. She had two things. One little cruse of oil. That was down on the bottom. Hallelujah. And a little bit of meal that was down on the bottom of the bag. That's all she had. And she was confronted by the word of God. Hallelujah! You are being confronted by the word of God. Hallelujah! What Elijah did in his capacity of prophet was the representation of the word of God to that little woman who was indicative of the church today. The Bible says that in the last days it's not going to be a famine of food. It's going to be a famine of the word of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, there are more Bibles printed today in so many languages. Almost every language has a Bible. And yet, the church has grown astronomically to where there are millions of people who call themselves Christians. Hallelujah. And yet the world is going to hell. When there was just a handful of Christians in Antioch. Hallelujah. To have the reality of the livingness of the word. And they were turning the world upside down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are we waiting for? What do we expect? Do we expect to go to bed tonight? Get up in the morning and live your life in the same fashion, in the same way, the same troubles, the same persecutions, the same oppression, the same depression that is pushing you down. Hallelujah. Or do we wake up to the potential of the reality of the mercy of God that is new for that day? Hallelujah! You know what overcoming your circumstances means? It's not a matter of your circumstances changing. It's a matter that your circumstances does not have the authority to depress, oppress, and to bring you down into a place of captivity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We want to change our environment. We want to reach out there and touch souls. Praise the Lord. I'm all for that. But if you do not bring the soul and begin to teach him the principles of what is his by right of inheritance, you have not performed the will of God. You have not accomplished what God has told you to put your hand to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me back into Matthew.
What am I doing with my name? Matthew is so
good. Hallelujah. Verse Matthew, the 24th chapter. I want to read the fourth and this gospel. Matthew 14. 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom. I want to stop there for just a minute. I'm running out of time, so I don't want you to get bored or tired of me. When God says this gospel of the kingdom, what did he mean? Hallelujah. Well, I could take you to another verse in the Gospels. And the disciples came to Jesus. Find it for me. It's the one on Teach Us to Pray. He said, they came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. I'm sure that many of you know the prayer. You probably recite it many times. And you probably recite it without thinking about it. But the prayer that Jesus said to them, first and foremost, he says, say, our Father.
That's the name
of
Matthew.
Our Father. My God. I could preach to you for another hour just on our Father. Hallelujah. Loving, caring, concern. You know, I have 7 children, and so I am a father. And I care for my children. When my children hurt, I hurt. When my children suffer, I suffer. Anything and everything that happens to my children, I feel it. And my heart for my children is want to do everything I can to try to help them in life and to develop to the potential that I know that is in them. I will go to no lengths to do what I believe is God for them. It's not a matter of strength, money, time, energy. It is a matter of my position of being Father. Oh, hallelujah. I have the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, wherein I cry, Abba, 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 Father, my God, hallelujah. If I'm in trouble, if I'm in need, God is right there beside me. Hallelujah. I may not sense him. I may not think it. I may even accuse him of forsaking me. But because of his Father's heart, he's right there with me. And he's nurturing me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nurturing me, loving me, doing what is best for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if he does not choose to change my environment, is he any less bless my Father. And does He love me enough? Hallelujah. Because of it. Hallelujah. And then He said a peculiar thing. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Yes. Did you hear it? Church trying to get to heaven. Church waiting to be taken up. Hallelujah. When we're supposed to pray, come down. We're supposed to pray, come down. Come down. Hallelujah. Not only in this earth, but in this earth. Come down. In this earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. So when I'm talking to you about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, I'm not preaching to you about building a church. God says that God does not dwell in houses made with hands. God says that you are a lively stone. You are the temple of God. You have the habitation and the reality of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Why would I want to settle for lowbite? Why do I want to settle for religious dogma? That is not producing the reality of the Christ that is inside of you. The Bible does not say that your hope of glory is to get into heaven. What the Bible says is that Christ in you in this little one. Christ in this young man. Christ in these children is the hope of glory. Did you hear it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us be sure that we are building the right church. Let us be sure that we're not in the business of religion, but we are in the business of building a living, viable, walking, talking God. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with one verse. Well, there's several verses, but it's one chapter. Jeremiah, chapter 31. Hallelujah. Verse 29, in those days shall they say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But if everyone shall die for his own iniquity, every man that eateth sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their inward parts. I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I want to read one other place to show you that this is not Old Testament theology. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And now he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hallelujah. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and and I regarded them not. Hallelujah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And he defines what the new covenant is. I will put my laws into their minds, write them in their hearts, and I will be a God, and they will be to me a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have a decision to make. Which covenant are you going to pursue? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got a word for this young man over here. For you, sir. I have a word for you. For surely the Lord knows of thy goings out and thy comings in. And he knows thy prayers and thy supplications. Yea, he even knows thy lamentations and thy positions, thy place of intercession. God has given thee the ability to see the needs, but not in the sense of just seeing it, but also in the sense of feeling it. And oftentimes it comes down on you like a heavy load, almost as though it would push you down even into the dirt. Hallelujah. But there is a power and an authority. And many times you have been in your closet. You have been in that place of travail, praying over the needs and the pressure of it, praying for the reality of God and the ability to manifest Him in the midst of the oppression and of the darkness. And surely God has heard thy prayer. And though the situations of your environment are difficult, it is not so much the difficulties as it is in the sense of the reality of God. That is the thing that is needed in your life. And as you present yourself at this altar of that God has created for you, He will begin to minister to you and to begin to give unto you that strength and the ability to see. Not see the circumstance, but to see the reality of God in the midst of it. And as you move in that experience with God, He will give you the strength and the vitality to rise up in the Spirit and to do the work of God. Father, I pray for this man. I pray for his wife, his family. I pray for you to cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. We come against any and every spirit that would want to work contrary to righteousness. The difficulties of the battle battle. The spirits that are sent against them, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ and we rebuke them. My God, we ask for you to minister to this wife right now, Lord. Give her the strength, the vitality, the virtue of God, that she might walk with her husband. Father, put within him a sensitivity and a compassion for his wife, that he might know the position of ministry that he has, both within the home as well as out of it. My God, we ask that you bless them today. In Jesus' name. Amen.